This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Now, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. Let me welcome in my co-host in crime, Tony Hubert. What's going on, bud?
All good. Baseball is underway. My fantasy team doesn't stink it up completely yet. There's still hope. It's the middle of April. I'm loving life.
I love what you just said. There's still hope, and I'm going to get into that here in just a second. But I want to tell you, I missed you last week. I felt myself rambling because it was so early in the season. There's so many things going on, and it's like, I don't want to talk about some things that people would sit there and go, is this guy freaking out? We're a week into the season about this or that. So it's nice to have you back and keep some sanity on the show for sure.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Something I've learned over a lifetime, as we've both matured, is don't get too excited about April. Don't get too down about April.
That's good advice, especially if you have a fantasy team.
An old colleague of mine said, don't get your heart into a tither about anything until Flag Day.
Yeah, Mike Claiborne.
Yes, Mike Claiborne, now of the Cardinal broadcast. That Flag Day was his day to say, okay, now I know who the teams are, what they've got, what to expect, and I can make some objective judgments from this point forward. And you know what? He was always right. I just like to see what's coming together and what the needs are. Because, you know, that Memorial Day sort of one-third poll, it seems to get her awfully quick.
Well, I will tell you this. I sure hope the fans, and I'm going to label out some cities here, I sure hope the fans in Toronto, the fans in Kansas City and Cleveland, the fans in Seattle, the fans in Atlanta, the fans in St. Louis, our hometown, and the fans in San Francisco are listening to you. Because right now there's a lot of panic going on in those cities.
I understand. Fans are fanatics. I get it. I've been there with you.
I'm there with them right now. I'm worried about my Cardinals, but I'm listening to you and I'm hearing you loud and clear. Before we get into any more discussion, let's remind everybody to make sure you check us out at bleacherbumspodcast.com. It's where you'll find the podcast. It's also where you can subscribe to the show. It's very simple to do. It's also free, which who doesn't love free? Very simple. If it's free, it's me. Very simple. You subscribe to the podcast through bleacherbumspodcast.com. You click subscribe to the podcast, takes you down to the next page. You select based on your mobile provider. You get a notification every time we do a show. It's completely free. It's a great thing.
Every time.
We love Twitter. At Bums Podcast is where you'll find us. If you're a baseball fan, I promise you, we're going to follow you back if you follow us. We want to know what you're thinking. We want to know what stories are going on. We want to know if you're from another. I mean, we're local guys here in the St. Louis market, but we want to talk baseball over the country. So if you're interested in it, if you're concerned with it, if you think it's a worthy topic, that's why we want to follow you. At Bums Podcast is where you'll find us. Make sure you go to Facebook and just type in Bleacher Bums Podcast. Like our page. Going to do some stuff through there that we hope you guys will share around in an effort to reach more baseball fans. So the show grows as much as you guys will help us grow it by sharing our content, by liking what we're doing. That's all we ask. If you could do that, it would be greatly appreciated here and greatly appreciated across the fandom of baseball. LineupMedia.fm is very supportive of the show, and we couldn't do it without them. They're very in tune with what's going on in today's day and age. You guys are changing how you're doing things. You want to listen to what you want to listen to, when you want to listen to it, and how you want to listen to it. Check out lineupmedia.fm. They're the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. If you're into podcasting, which you obviously are since you're listening to this show, I promise you they take your entertainment time very seriously. You'll find another show on there that you'll get hooked on. I promise you. So check them out, lineupmedia.fm. Before we went and did our little shameless plugs there, we were talking about some of these cities that are struggling a little bit here early. And I know, Tony, when we were talking about what do we talk about today, you had said something that just gets me in a whole nother level, and that's the one word, stats. Because here's what stats do. Stats, to me, lead me to a term that my buddy Benji Molina can't stand, and that's potential. Like, you know, that word to him is like a death thing. It's like we lose a lot of games because we're worried about somebody's potential. Well, that's the thing with stats. I know how I feel about stats. Give me your spiel. Like, I know that you obviously had something, like, in tune with stats that you thought was topic worthy today. So give me your spiel on stats.
It came up again, and this has been going on for years, and I mean like 30 years. Some of it Bill James introduced. Some of it the Ivy League sabermetrician introduced. But I caught a wind of this the other day. Again, the RBI. It's just not that important. And every time I hear that, my skin crawls.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
The RBI. It's just not that important.
Now, and where did you read this?
I forget.
I'd like to get a hold of it. I'd sure like to find out.
You can find plenty of sabermetrician writers out there who've said the RBI is an overrated stat. And their reasoning, and it has logic to it, is when you go up to the plate, you should be striving to get a base hit anyway. Well, I get that. Totally get. And it's a product of who's on in front of you. And I totally get that as well. Here's what I know from watching, you know, baseball and playing baseball and coaching baseball at a non-professional level. Somebody's got to drive the run in. That's how you win the game. Because the most important stat is the win. There's no other stat more important than the win. And we've elevated all these baseball stats, which are very useful. You know, batting average, home runs, RBIs, wins for a pitcher, ERA. We've elevated all these things. We give awards based on them. But all they are is metrics to measure what you do to win the game. That's it. There's one objective. Score runs, limit runs. That's it. There is really nothing more to this. So when I hear that the RBI just isn't that important, you know, I think to myself, how are you going to win?
Well, what are they basing this on? Are they saying that the runners just happen to be on there when you're batting
well,
and everybody's
saying, yeah,
trying
they're saying
to get
as a measure of somebody's worth. You know, it's you're dependent upon all these other factors. Okay, that's true. Here's what I know, though, that in the vacuum of the statistician or the sabermetrician, you know, vacuum, doesn't know. Every sequence changes in the game of baseball based on where runners are. Everything. Because another one that gets me, Jim, is, you know, someone gets thrown out, and then the next pitch, the guy hits a home run. They go, oh, we could have had two runs. No, you couldn't have. Nope. No, you couldn't have. No. The chances you could have had two runs there are almost zero. Almost zero. And if I have to explain it to you.
Well, please do.
You don't really know baseball.
Well, please do.
Because when a person's on base, you're pitching to the hitter differently than when the bases are empty. The bases are empty, and you've got an out or two. You can afford to challenge a hitter. And when you challenge a hitter, sometimes you make a mistake and the ball leaves the yard.
Okay, so you're leading me to where I go with stats, and that's this. This is what I believe when it comes to stats. Number one, the only ones that really matter to me, and they're stats that are you can't argue with them, and that is average. Home runs.
I can argue with average. I can't argue with home runs.
RBIs. I'm not quite sure how you. I mean, the only way.
Don't argue with RBIs.
Okay. I'm not quite sure how you're going to argue with average unless you're.
I can argue with. There's all different sorts of averages. Averages don't necessarily tell you what type of hitter you have.
Look at
the batting average in a vacuum. Like, well, if I look at Miguel Cabrera's batting average just in a vacuum, I don't know that he. What type of hitter he is. or that he is a run producer. And if I look at Tony Gwynn's batting average, they tell two different stories.
So let me back up and then finish my statement then before, because I agree with you. So what I'm going to say to you is if I'm curious if a guy can hit, all the only ones things that matter to me are batting average, home runs, and RBIs. It's going to tell me what kind of hitter he is.
That will paint
the
picture.
Now the other one that matters to me is stolen bases. Of course, you take all four of those and you put them together and you understand what kind of hitter you have. But more importantly, what you find out real quick is if you do indeed have a hitter. Now let me tell you where I'm going with this. Stats to me, especially defensive stats, those are the ones I love the most. Those are for people trying to explain why a guy is better than he is or worse than he is when you have an issue with the most important thing, and that's the eye test. That's what stats are for. Stats are for some guy in a room to tell me why so-and-so is better than you think he is. And I say, well, you know, I'm going to use Dexter Fowler as an example because I think I fell into the trap, okay? And I hope I'm wrong about this. When Dexter Fowler was going to sign with the St. Louis Cardinals, when it was a big thing, I took a stance at the beginning after I went and looked at the stats that matter to me, and I said, okay, here's my issue with Dexter Fowler. Do I think he's a fine baseball player? Yeah, I think he's that's it. He's a fine baseball player. He's an average baseball player, in my opinion. And people said, please explain. And I said, well, let me tell you where I come at this from. You're telling me how good he is because of one stat. I'm going to give you a stat that's more alarming to me, and that's the fact that he's a career 268 hitter. And everybody would say, well, he's a 268 hitter with a career on base of whatever it is. Sure. It's like some astronomical number. It's like 386 or something, which is really good.
Ooh, if it's 100 points higher than his batting average, that's a tell.
Or maybe it's what it's been lately. It's irrelevant because let me explain where I'm going with this. I think when you start talking about eye test to me is obviously what you see with your eye, but it's also what you know. Okay, and here's what I know. When you start talking about a guy being that big of a deal, the conversation for a guy like Dexter Fowler should be, well, he's a career 310 hitter, but he played in Colorado and Houston and Chicago. So you have to take that into account. The conversation shouldn't be, he's only a career 268 hitter, and he played in Colorado, Houston, and Chicago.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm going with this?
I totally do.
Okay, because here's what happens with on-base percentage, folks, and I'm sorry to tell you this. When you're signing a guy to a whole lot of money on the premise of, well, he walks a lot, the guys behind him better be really damn good to do what? What do they do well?
To get the RBI.
And hit, yes.
To score a run.
That's right.
You know, the central metric
now,
of the game.
And here's another thing. Well, he's a good base runner. Well, I mean, describe good base runner to me. Is he a 50 stolen base? Now here we go. If he has a high on-base percentage and he's a 50-60 stolen base guy, now I'm really on board.
Oh, certainly.
But if he's got a great on-base percentage and he's a 20 steal guy, I don't understand how
it's different.
That's...
It's different.
I mean, you know...
It's a different story.
So I bought into it. And the reason I bought into it was because of how good a hitter I think Matt Carpenter is. So I bought into it. I'm realizing now that, I guess, I don't even know what word I'm looking for here. I'm realizing I was right. And again, we're 2 weeks into the season. Dexter Fowler's better than a 140 hitter, which is what he's hitting right now or whatever it is. That's not my point. But from what I've seen, what I'm realizing, I'm right. He's not a great hitter. I'm sorry, he's not. He's certainly not a guy that you want to anchor a spot for the next 5 years, and you gave a bunch of money and locked up a position.
I get it.
He's not a Gold Glove center fielder.
No.
So you're not getting that either. You're getting an adequate center fielder.
Right.
Now, we're back off of stats, and we're to eye and mental test. Evidently, he's a great clubhouse guy. So that's good, too.
There's intangibles.
That. Sure.
There are intangibles.
I'm telling you, stats, a lot of stats that you have to explain to me how you come up with them, and I assure you, when you come up with stats for defensive like this, there's a little bit of what you think and what that go into them. Those are stats to make you feel better about somebody or try to explain to me why a guy's not as good as I think he is. I don't need it. The bottom line is, can the guy get the job done or can he not? That's the only thing I care about.
I care about this, and I think it can be measured in baseball, and I'm sure there's some people who do it. One of my stats has always been, who do I feel advances the narrative of the game? It's much like hockey. You know, one of the things I love about hockey is they give out that secondary assist because sometimes it's that pass
sure.
that leads to the pass, that leads to the little tap in that really advanced the narrative. Well, sometimes it's moving the runner from first to second or from second to third. And what you're asked to do at the plate is not borne out statistically. Because approaches, as you've seen over the years, players have been asked, they have been asked by their team to take different approaches. Matt Carpenter of the St. Louis Cardinals, I think, is a good example right now. I believe Matt Carpenter, left to his own devices, is a 320 hitter. I do. I think Matt Carpenter asking to be a little more power-centric is a 280 hitter. It's what you're asked to do. You know, and that's what a stat will never truly bear out.
Well, let me ask you what Matt Carpenter's ever done to make you believe he's a 320 hitter. Now, I
hit line drives.
Okay.
But because he doesn't have the speed to beat out the infield singles or things like that. Don't play on AstroTurf anymore where a bunch of balls are going to scoot through. But a very good batting eye and the ability to hit line drives. And his game has evolved into one where the team obviously has asked him, you know, to power up. And he's done so fairly well. But it's a different approach. And as you see players take different approaches, you know, Barry Bonds took a different approach at one point during his career. And so the batting average and things like that, look, in the early days of baseball, you know what one of the most important stats was for the individual player? Runs.
Well,
we treat runs like they're complete, he scored 130 runs. No, that tells you something. That tells you something about a whole bunch of things. He's on base. He must run the base as well. And, of course, he's got guys behind him who are hitting him in because you're not just stealing home 130 times. You know, but there are things that show, like you said, what is the good player. So when I hear the RBI is just an overrated thing, or when I hear some of these defensive metric things, like ball should have gotten to.
That's one of my favorites.
You tell me how you're judging that. I'll look at your description. I know an error when I see it. I know from being in press boxes for years and years and years, I know what happens and how the phone rings and suddenly an error is a hit. You know, so I look, we all know. And so do the managers, so do the scouts, they all know.
Well, I'm going to give you an example of what
the defensive metrics that ball should
like when you, and again, I thought he was a great player for the Cardinals, but when you can use some stat to tell me that Matt Holliday is a good outfielder, your stat's flawed.
Oh, it's completely flawed.
Okay.
Completely.
And don't sit there and tell me how that your stat knows more than I do with my eyes.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. Okay.
I mean, it tried to tell us Randall Grichuk was an above average center field. Listen, your stat doesn't watch him run routes to the ball. They don't watch the jump. Your stats don't tell me that. And now some guy sitting out there going, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I'm saying, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't tell me that you had a step going into right center because you recognized the pitch was going to the outer half to the right-hander, and this guy has a propensity to hit to the other field, and you just have that natural judgment to be in motion as contact is made. It doesn't tell you that. It never will.
Did you need anything to tell you how good Jim Edmonds was?
No, nothing.
There you go. You needed nothing.
I needed nothing.
Did you need anything to tell you Albert Pujols was a hitter? Guy was a hitter.
No. In fact, I could watch him ground out to short four times a night and know that the guy smokes the ball. He smokes it. You need less than nothing, first of all, on a guy like Edmonds. Just watch where he plays. The great ones play shallow. They do. They take it away. They take that line drive base hit away. They'll go back and get the one over their head because they can go back and get it. And that gives them that advantage. It's huge advantage to have. It's just huge. But here's what in the advanced metric game, which we've been in now for probably 20 years, right, Jim?
Of course.
Okay. Why, you know, if you're going to go full blown, why not tell me, hey, why don't we show stats like, hey, this person has advanced 200 base runners this year. And out of those 200, here's how many of them scored. And you get a little percentage there And hopefully that percentage is around like 50%. That's useful to me. You know, the batting average is always is useful, although like I've said, it can I can tell you different stories with it. Home runs are home runs, pretty obvious there. You know, but to say RBIs, oh, come on. Come on. You have to score. Someone has got to produce the run. It can't always be a walk, a stolen base, a bunt, and a sac fly. It just can't.
Well, again, I'm going to say something really crazy here. I know before anybody thinks anything, I get it. It's not baseball at the major league level and the youth level is obviously different. So let's get that out of the way. I know that. But I used to tell for years people would say to me something about stats, and I'd say, I don't keep stats. And they'd say, well, how do you make out a lineup then? Or how do you justify to parents or whatever?
I know who makes contact.
And I said, listen, I can watch my kids and I know who is swinging the bat well and who isn't.
Yeah.
I know what they do. I know how they are. I know what they – there's a lot of things that go into it. Now, at the major league level, where I understand this is different, is they are in the business of winning and they're in the business of producing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so therefore, okay, you have your stats. But I can assure you that the people at that level know who's hitting and who isn't hitting without ever looking at a stat. I assure you of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They know intrinsically.
They have to know this. We as fans want, and this is what it comes down to. Parents in youth sports are no different than fans of professional sports. We want explanation why things aren't going the way we think they should. Now, at the professional level, it's our passion and love for our team. At the youth level, it's passion and love for our child.
Sure.
So one way or another, we live in a world now where we have to blame somebody for something not going right. So for instance, we have to figure out, and this is the big word, why so-and-so's not as good as we think he is or why he's better than we think he is. I don't need any of it.
Well, I tell you right now.
Let me know who
Jim,
gets
it
done.
I can go watch. Look, and most coaches can do this. Go watch any team. Watch them for a game or two. You'll know who hits strikes hard and who doesn't. You'll know who goes out of the zone and who doesn't. You'll find out your hitters right away. And I don't care if they go 0-for-4 and one of the other kids who's not such a good hitter pulls out a 3-for-4. Over the long run, we all know it evens out and it all comes together.
Well, again, I can't help but go back to your initial statement, this whole conversation, and that's somebody trying to tell me that RBIs aren't important. There's a reason why guys bat in those traditional positions.
Yes.
Because they're good at
driving they can
in
make
runs,
contact.
And they drive in runs, and they also hit the ball
meaningfully to where they need to hit it.
Well, again, the ability to hit the ball in the gap, to hit the ball over people's heads.
Oh, how about this, Jim?
Colorado's an example. People are so worried about the power numbers at Colorado. I understand the power numbers at Colorado. I watched Nolan Arenado flip a ball out to right center field the other night off his front foot. But the thing that concerns me more about Colorado that people don't think about is how big the outfield is. So these guys are hitting for astronomically high averages because they're getting a lot of hits there that wouldn't be hits at other parks. Why? Because the outfielder's got to play another 30 feet back. So a lot of line drives, a lot of things that typically are gotten to. Now, where's your stat for that shows me
there
something?
Is none.
There is a, it's oh, but somebody will tell me they have one. I don't need – that's my point. I don't need one.
And having watched games out there, the first thing that – because I remember I took my dad out there. First thing we both said to each other was – oh, I get it. It's not the home run here. It's the fact that the line drive shoots through the infield and the outfielder really has no chance to even come in on it. The home run, sure, they travel farther. But it's the other little things that you just mentioned, like that. It's true. But back to the RBI. I mean, I want the guy who, when I need one run, I know that I can send him up to the plate, and if I got a runner on third and less than one out and the infield's back, I know that I can ask him to roll over and hit it to the right side and that run's coming home.
Well,
and those guys are worth their weight in gold to me.
Well, here's where I'll finish at on the whole stat argument, and that's this. I don't need some sabermetric guy to tell me whether or not a guy is this or this or this. Now, they did their nice little movie, and Oakland had their nice little run and all this kind of stuff. I've got a better thing for you that's an eye test thing for me. Some of these organizations have nice runs with these guys. We've seen them, these teams that traditionally like bring these players in, then they trade them for prospects, and then these other guys. Here's what I'm going to tell you, and this is, I'm sorry, those organizations, because of how they're run, basically take these guys that have talent and do what with them? They give them an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
Other organizations, it's so hard for a guy with talent, unless he's an absolute talent, to even get the opportunity. What happens in Florida and Oakland and a lot of these places are, they look at a guy that's talented and is a prospect and a high one and say, go play.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in St. Louis.
And they also put them in a position to maximize their ability.
That's right. Doesn't happen in a lot of organizations. A lot of organizations,
you know,
they
why? Because they can afford to take the risk.
That's right. We know how good you are, and they put them in there for a couple of days, and they don't get a couple of hits, and then they sit, and then they just, that doesn't happen. Some of those organizations, they just put these guys in there and let them play. And what you realize real quick is there's a reason they're top prospects. There's also a reason that there's lots of guys out there that can play. Now, playing at the highest level is the hardest thing to do, obviously. But it just, I don't need a bunch of stats to know that. I can watch it and tell myself.
What stat would you, on the pitching side of it? Because I think everyone agrees wins are important. Yes. Not the end all be all. I've always liked ERA. But the one I really do like, and I actually do like it, is WHIP. I like the walks and hits per inning because that tells me how effective the hitters are either eyeing your ball or barreling up your ball. And that one I've tended to gravitate to more over the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years, where I used to go and look at ERA first and then see if the wins were commensurate with the ERA. Because usually if your ERA is in the two and you're a starter, you should be in double-digit wins by August or September, that type of thing, unless you're Jose De Leon for the Pirates in the 80s where you got an ERA of 2.3 and you lose 19 games.
Okay, here's where I'll go with that. I'm with you on WHIP. I used to not be a big fan, but I'm starting to understand the significance of it and how it plays into success.
Mm-hmm.
ERA and wins. Yes, there's a correlation, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the issue comes in for all the stats versus wins, in my opinion, are maybe, how do I put this? Depends on what your what your threshold is for good and where your ceiling is for great. And what I mean by that is, what is the number right now that we put an emphasis on? 20 wins, right? That's what, man, if you get to 20 wins, you're really good, right? Well, do we not do that?
I think that used to be the number, Jim, but now I feel like the number's 15.
Well, okay, so that's where I'm going with this. So what I'm saying is that I can look at ERA, and if the ERA is good and I get to 15 wins, you're pretty good. Why is that? Well, baseball's changed a little bit. Closing games seems to be tough to do these days. I'm not sure why, other than it seems like the pitchers got ahead of the hitters with all this 98 and 99 stuff, and the hitters have just basically, like anything in life, like everything in life, it's adapted, it's gotten better.
Seen
all
a huge
things change.
Group adjustment.
I have said 1,000 times over that I'm waiting for a team to have a closer that is a nasty, go back to Bruce Sutter days. Just a nasty split finger.
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines. Because I wonder if these guys in the ninth inning would know what to do. Right now, they just go up there in these ninth innings and they just swing away and hope they barrel up a fastball.
If you catch a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, congrats. Well, it's going to go.
The other thing? What makes you elite versus good?
Right. Jim. If you catch Bruce Sutter's split finger on the outer half, what do you have?
You roll over a lot.
You got to roll over to you got a 4-3.
Right. Well, and
at the worst Sutter's given up a single.
Well, and that's where I'm going with this. So take a look at that, and then also the thing that separates the elite closer versus a closer, in my opinion, a lot of these guys throw the ball hard. They do all this kind of stuff. It's the walks. These guys that walk hitters. Okay. When they're in there to close a game in the ninth inning.
That's just kerosene on a campfire.
I watched Chris Sale pitch the other night, and I thought Harold Reynolds and these guys were watching it, and I loved the commentary because they were talking about all the differences of things that are going on within the game of baseball with change. They were talking about location and things like that, and they said, and the guy very simply said, location obviously is important, but is it important for Chris Sale? I've seen him miss location 10 times a day and get a strike because it – you know, when you throw the ball that hard and then you're Chris Sale with that kind of movement and motion, you can miss a lot of spots
Hell
and get
yes.
away with it. Certain the guys that throw it straight and are.
Oh, you can't. Right.
They just can't miss their spots, and that's typically what happens. So,
Jim, I saw, and I don't.
And that's an eye test thing. That's an eye test.
I saw a catcher set up for an inside low, and the pitcher missed high and away for a strike. The pitcher was caught on camera yelling a curse word because he was so upset. And it kind of caught him. Wait, that was actually a strike. So to your point, yes. Chris Sale can do that. I'll give you a guy, straight ball thrower. When Jason Mott was simply a straight ball thrower, he couldn't miss. If he missed out over the middle half of the plate, there was a lot of potential trouble there. Trevor Rosenthal kind of was in the same vein at times in his career. All closers, I think, are subject to that when they're just going with a four-seamer. You better have movement. It's what every pitching coach tells you. You better have movement just to get that ball off the sweet spot, even by a half an inch.
Well, and if you think about it, again, we're back to what? The eye test. I can watch Chris Sale's ball move. I don't need a stat to tell me how hard that is to hit and how nasty that
is. Let me ask you this, though. Do you like a fly ball ground ball ratio?
Well,
because it tells
you can work backwards from that, and what's the change been in the world? Making sure people understand that back in the old days, what did we have a bunch of guys telling us to hit the ball on the ground? The ball on the ground. Well, now what we realize is it's not a good idea to hit the ball on the ground.
No,
you don't. It's the big thing. Who was the guy last year that had an unbelievable exit speed, but it didn't translate into anything? Because Ryan Zimmerman.
Yeah.
They talked about how he had this unbelievable exit speed, but it had no results because he hit the ball on the ground.
You're pounding it into the four and six spot.
And, so listen, that's another thing. That's, if we're talking about stats, we're also talking about perception. And a fan's perception all the time of hitting the ball in the air is guys trying to hit home runs.
Mm.
All guys try to hit home runs. What they try to do is they try to hit the ball hard. And if they catch it, we're talking about a centimeter sometimes to create backspin, right? Which was always the most – if you want to look at the physics of the game at all or the science of the game at all, swinging down on a baseball that's already trajectorying – that the trajectory is already down is not a smart thing to do. Think about that. No, the ball is going down, and you're going to swing down at it. Think about that.
Who was the coach in Kansas City that did all this? Because I was taught to hit down like this, and I hated it.
Well, the initial guy was Charlie Lau.
Charlie Lau, that's the name.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would go to these summer camps, and we would – and my dad would get pissed off because here's what would happen.
Was it Walt Runiak was the guy that was with the White Sox, right?
I'd come back from camp at some – a college for a week, and I'd come back to my team, couldn't hit a lick. He goes, it's this damn thing they're doing. Why don't you hit line drives? Hit line drives. Sometimes they're going to be grounders. They're going to be hard. They're going to go through. Other times they're going to be fly balls. They're going to be caught. But if you just hit line drives, you're going to wind up hitting 300-something.
Well, and again, the we talked about this all the time. And you think verbiage and usage of words and how you describe what you're trying to do versus what you're doing, all those things come into play here. But the bottom line is I understand now more why you were concerned about stats, because if anybody tells me that RBIs aren't important, I'm going to tell you, well, then you've never played. Because somebody's got to drive the damn runs in. And
somebody
you assuming that just anybody can do it is crazy. See, there's the other thing, too. We act like just anybody can do these things. No, make no mistake about it. Every one of these guys is uber talented.
Oh, God,
there's a lot of there's a lot of things that go into why some guys are just better than others.
Every guy in the major
And there's no stat for it.
No, every guy in the major leagues, every guy in AAA, hell, every guy in AA today, Jim, wherever they grew up, whatever they were in their little circle of people, they were the best. And I mean by a large margin, they were the best. So we're talking about scales, right?
Right.
But, here's what I know. I want to know, a stat that's meaningful to me. What's your contact rate with runners in scoring position? Do you shorten that strike zone up? Do you make sure that you get a strike? Do you make sure you feast on the fastball? Do you get your pitch to hit? These are all the things the managers, the hitting coaches know. But, I don't know that sabermetricians would tell you this all the time. They say, he's got a propensity to hit to the right side. Okay. Well, maybe that's because he's always pitched out there. It's going to bear out that way, isn't it?
Well, and again, we're back to, the eye test. And for me, I, you know.
Remember how they tried to start with Pujols? How'd they start with Pujols? Remember that? Away, away, away. What'd they learn?
Well, he can hit that pitch.
He'll go 4-for-4 with four singles, and you'll lose the game.
That's right.
So then what did they try? Let's go inside and off speed.
And that was when he went – that's when they made a big deal about his ability to keep his hands inside.
Inside,
rotated
yes.
back behind the baseball.
Yep.
I remember hearing that for 2 or 3 years. I just don't understand how he doesn't hook that ball foul and how he keeps it fair.
Because his hands are inside.
I mean, well, they're most – there, but the ability to not –
consistently.
I don't
foul.
Need a stat for that.
You don't. You know, so,
good topic today. Loved it. Good stuff. Hope you enjoyed it. And
wait till I break down the game when it was played on AstroTurf, because that's where that Charlie Lau stuff comes from.
Well, we're gonna find out real quick here, because I'm here to tell you. You said Charlie Lau, and that just gets my juices flowing. Because, man, I remember the Wade Boggs thing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about how did Wade Boggs become the hitter he became, and it's just. You know, I remember reading the whole article about it, the backspin thing, and
yes.
hitting, just an amazing. I cannot wait. I'm going to go back and find that article before we have this conversation. So
good
stuff, my man. Appreciate it.
I love it.
Hope everybody enjoyed the show today. If you're one of those teams we talked about at the beginning, don't be jumping off any ledges anytime soon. It's early. Okay, we're right there with you here in St. Louis.
Flag day, friends.
We're not performing. Okay, we're going to wait at least a month before we judge any player. Number one, and where they may or may not be. But the reality of it is it's a long season. Now, you don't want to start out behind the eight ball ever, but there's been a lot of teams that have pulled it together after the first couple weeks of the season.
We live in the wild card age.
Well, yeah.
Don't get more than 10 games under 500. You know, stay in there, catch a hot streak. Here's my adage.
If you're 10 games over 500, you should be in contention for a while.
Well, don't get under 500. Don't get more than 10 under 500. Here's all you really need to do to advance to the playoffs today, statistically speaking. Play 500 ball all year long, except for 3 weeks. And in those 3 weeks, if you can go 6-1, you'll be 15 games over at the end of the year, and you'll probably have yourself a wild card spot.
Well, it's that easy.
That easy.
It's that easy. You got a stat for it?
Yeah, it's called games over 500. And those are tracked by wins, the ultimate stat.
Good stuff, my man. Love doing the show with you today. It's nice when you're in here. I hate being in here by myself. Don't forget, check us out, bleacherbumspodcast.com. Would appreciate your follow on Twitter, @BumsPodcast is where you'll find us. And, of course, Facebook is a great way to share a lot of great videos, a lot of great articles, a lot of great reads. Anything you have, we're interested in it. Bleacher Bums Podcast, like our page, share our stuff. We would greatly appreciate it. Just trying to reach a great fan base of baseball people just like ourselves. We're definitely no smarter than anybody else out there. We've all got an opinion. We want to hear yours. BleacherBumsPodcast.com. Thanks again to LineUpMedia.fm and their support. Couldn't do the show without them and their wonderful facilities, their wonderful promotion, their wonderful staff. Always take great care of us. For Tony Hubert, this is Jim Cromer. We are the Bleacher Bums, and we'll see you on the field.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.